It is March the 13th. We have five games. We have some injury updates. De'Aaron Fox done for the season. Bilal Coulibaly probably done for the season. Paul George probably done for the season. We are going to start to see more of this as we know, but we will talk about that. We'll talk about the five games. There was some interesting streaming value. Everything. This is the Thursday post-game show. Let's go, Balti.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do and say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere and everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. We have five games to go through. Quickly, just some injury updates though. You would have heard by now, De'Aaron Fox is done for the season with a finger injury, which he's been carrying all season. Makes perfect sense. Spurs have nothing to play for. Get him right for next season. So, not surprising at all. Bilal Coulibaly also out for 4 to 6 weeks. He's done for the year. You can drop him if you were holding him. Paul George is seeking medical advice. I think that was the wording, something like that. Drop him. He's not playing again this year. Maxi could come next. We're not there yet, I don't think, on Tyrese Maxi, but it's pretty close. But Paul George, we can move on from him and forget what has been a pretty disappointing and honestly, well, disappointing season for him, obviously. But the Sixers there might be in a bit of bother here because Joel Embiid is never going to be Joel Embiid again. Is Paul George ever going to be Paul George again? These injuries are mounting up. We will see, but they're in a spot of bother in Philadelphia, I think. Let's get into the games. I've got about half an hour, so we should. There's only five of them, so we should be able to get through those and some questions. First game of the night, the Wizards accidentally beat the Pistons. Bad loss for Detroit. Good win. Well, it doesn't really matter, does it? Let's pull up these standings in the East. Washington are still last. They still have the worst record in the league, so a win does not matter. For those just paying attention, we've got Washington, Utah, and Charlotte. So they're the three worst teams currently. Really the only other team that could challenge them for that to be in the bottom three, which as we know, I think it has a 14% chance at the number one pick, is the New Orleans Pelicans. They are on 18 wins. And Charlotte are on 16 wins. So, yeah, just keep an eye on the Pelicans there. I mean, they're not winning anyway, so it doesn't matter. But, interesting little battle there at the bottom of the standings. All right, let's get into box scores. Washington, as I said, no Bilal Coulibaly, so Justin Champagne started. 17 points, 9 assists, 3 steals. I think we have to roster him. The last game was not very good, but he'll be playing enough. He's going to play 30-plus minutes. So I think, and they're not going to rest him. So I think you just have to roster him. I would have him over Middleton. I would have him over Kispert. I would have him over Smart. Probably over Bob Carrington as well. I still think I'd have Keyshawn George just ahead of Champagne, but I think both should be rostered. Middleton, he's fine when he plays. Marcus Smart, I guess he's okay when he plays as well. Kispert is just our points and threes streamer. If Alex Saar misses any time, he had 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 blocks in this one. And he was efficient, 7 of 12. So a good night for him. Roster him. If he does miss any time, Rashawn Holmes and Tristan Vukcevic would be the guy, but he didn't even play in this one. So we don't need to talk about him. Let's talk about Detroit, though. As I said, a bad loss for them. Asar Thompson, only 19 minutes. That's a little concerning. He just couldn't get into the flow, some fouls. Yeah, I still think we hold him, but it hasn't been as exciting as we thought it might be. But yeah, I think I'm still holding just. Tobias Harris, 14, 6 and 3. The three steals are nice. He's been fine. Jalen Duren had 18 and 14 with a block. Cade Cunningham, 38 points, 10 assists. Two steals, two blocks, and 20 of 21 from the free throw line. Very tasty. Just couldn't hit a three in this one. Tim Hardaway had 10 points. We know the story with him. We know the story with Malik Beasley. Just streamers. As is Dennis Schroeder, another 20-minute performance, 11 points, 3 assists. Not doing enough to be rostered, but enough to be streamed. And Isaiah Stewart, really just a defensive kind of option at the moment. He had a steal and a block, but he's only playing 16 to 18 minutes. So I don't think we need to be prioritizing him. All right, the Lakers, they fall to the Bucks. 126-106. Wasn't very close. For the Lakers, they're in a spot of bother, aren't they? Look, Luka, if you want a positive out of this one, Luka had 45 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. Very good. Austin Reeves, also very good, 28 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists. But outside of them, I mean, is there anything worth talking about? Is there anyone worth rostering? I think the answer to both of those questions is no. I streamed in Vanderbilt tonight. He had played 27 and 29 in each of the last two games. So, of course, he played 15 minutes in this one. I was a fool to fall for Lakers' rotational decisions, wasn't I? So don't worry about him. Don't worry about anyone. You might get lucky. Maybe you're streaming Dalton Connect and you catch him on a night when he hits 5 threes. Generally speaking, I'm not interested in him or Finney Smith or Gabe Vincent or Alex Len or Jordan Goodwin. There's far better streaming options than those guys. Floating around for the Bucks, we know the story with them when they're healthy. Not much to talk about. We will talk about Lopez, though. 8 of 9 from the field. Don't fall for this performance. He was against a team that basically doesn't have a center. And yes, I'm not counting Alex Len as an NBA center. 23 points for Lopez, 4 blocks, 4 rebounds. He randomly does this. He's rostered anyway, so there's no moves to make, but don't expect this. Gary Trent had 4 threes. Kevin Porter had 5 threes, 22 points. Like I said, bit of a blowout. I think we could technically call it a blowout. So we got some extra minutes for those guys. I'm not running to grab them. Jericho Sims had 11 rebounds in 18 minutes. We know he can be a very good rebounder, but he's not going to play this much. Usually, and Kyle Kuzma, is he a drop? He might be. 5 points, 4 rebounds. I'm okay with dropping him. He just doesn't do enough when Giannis is healthy, when Dame is healthy. And the Bucks want to win games, so they're going to try and get those guys out there as much as possible. All right, next game, the Brooklyn Nets and the Chicago Bulls. Bulls get the win 116-110. And that's what we love to see in games like this. Close enough that the guys that we want stay on the court. We get good minutes. And Chicago win. So striving for that 10th or 9th seed, wherever. Where are the Bulls? 10th seed. Yeah, that feels right. All right, coffee. For the Nets, Cam Thomas played 10 assists. Very interesting for Cam Thomas. I don't know if that's a career high. I'd have to go and check, but I can't recall too many games where he had double-digit assists. 6 rebounds, a steal, and a block, 24 points. So what is this, Cam Thomas? Roster him. We know he's going to sit back-to-backs. They have another back-to-back coming up this weekend, so prepare for an absence if you have him. But he's doing enough when he's playing to be rostered. Nick Claxton had 18, 14, and 5 with a steal. No blocks, which is a little bit disappointing, but everything else was good. Cam Johnson, 16 and 6, 3 steals, 1 block. Much like Cam Thomas, I think he probably sits back one of the back-to-backs. But when he's healthy, you roster him. D'Angelo Russell, he just looks so uninterested, unmotivated, doesn't care. I don't think you need to roster him. He will have the occasional bust out like we saw a couple of games ago, but 4 points really in 25 minutes. Yeah, I don't think so. Tyrese Martin had 19 points. We know the story with the rest of these guys: Zaire Williams, Tyrese Martin, Trendon Watford, Keon Johnson, Jalen Wilson. And even Dayron Sharp now is probably in that bucket just because he's not playing the minutes we'd hoped. They are all just dart throws when the situation calls for it. Dayron Sharp had a pretty good game again, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 1 steal in 14 minutes. 14 minutes is not enough. Now, the back-to-back coming up, there's no indication that Claxton will rest, but he might. If he does, make sure Dayron Sharp is rostered. For the Chicago Bulls, who do we want to start with? Let's start with Bouzelas. Hasn't been great. I don't think you need to hold him. Vooch moved back into the starting lineup, was going to play 28 minutes, I think, only played 23. He had 7, 3, and 3. Look, I think you probably roster him. They're going to play him. They're not trying to lose games. It doesn't really matter. So we probably roster him. He'll be better than this. As for Zach Collins, he had 9 and 9 with 3 blocks and a steal in 25 minutes. I'd hold him for another game or two. And once he's down at 18 to 15 minutes, then I think we move on for now. He's probably doing enough to be held. Julian Phillips, very intriguing off the bench. Look, he was just playing well, so they played him over Bouzelas. 16, 7, and 5 with a steal and a block for Phillips. I wouldn't expect this again. It was just a bad night from Bouzelas, so I wouldn't be running to add Phillips. Trey Jones and Kevin Huerter, though, I probably would be making sure they're rostered. Huerter had 18 and 9 in his 33 minutes. Trey Jones had 18, 6, and 6 with 3 steals in his 36 minutes. Ayo Dosunmu's not coming back. Lonzo will probably come back at some point, but he's already, he was out for this game and there's no real update. Remember, he had a wrist injury earlier in the season, so I do wonder if this is something that's going to require surgery at some point. Kobe White had 31 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal. Very good game from him. Josh Giddey is traveling with the team. I would expect him to come back on the road trip, but we're probably still going to have this sort of a rotation for the next 2 to 3 games, I would expect. They were the second team. All right, Orlando. Pretty poor game from the Pelicans, wasn't it? 113-93, the Magic win. Very comfortable. Minutes were a little bit down for some of the starters, not all of them. Franz was good. Paolo was good. Wendell Carter was not. Don't need to hold him. KCP, don't need to hold him. Corey Joseph started with Cole Anthony out. I'm not running to add Corey Joseph. The fact that they're playing him over Anthony Black, it actually says a lot to me about how little faith they have in Anthony Black, because I see no reason you wouldn't be starting him when he is, the 5th, 6th pick last year, and they have no confidence. Very weird indeed. I'm not rostering him either. Goga Badadze, he's sort of out of the rotation now. I don't know what he's done or who he's annoyed in the locker room, but 5 minutes for him, weird. Jonathan Isaac had 8 points with 2 blocks and a steal. You can stream him in if you're feeling lucky, but I don't think there's a lot to talk about here for Orlando. For the Pelicans, we had no Eve Misi. So Carlo Matkovic got the start. He had 6 rebounds. He had 2 blocks. Didn't do much. I would have wanted a little bit more here against this Magic team. But, keep an eye on Misi's availability. As long as he's out, I would be holding Matkovic. Zion had 28 and 5. Murphy, 17, 5 and 2. Like I said, this was a blowout, so I'm not too worried about the low production here. CJ McCollum, dreadful in this one. 9 points, 4 assists. We've seen him rested already. I think we hold him, but just be prepared for fewer games and probably less production. Jose Alvarado salvaged. It was a pretty quiet night for him, but he salvaged it late. 12 points, 4 assists, 3 steals. So I am probably holding him. Those steals are just enough probably to give him a floor worthy of holding. Jordan Hawkins had 11 points with a 3. No, not really. too concerned with him or Mo Bamba or Jeremiah Robinson Earl, any of those guys. And the last game of the night, the Sacramento Kings fall to the Warriors, 130-104. Bad loss for the Kings. They were never in this one. We will start with the Kings. Keegan Murray was terrible. Do we need to hold him this time of the year? Look, I guess because he's playing every game and he's playing starters minutes, you probably have to hold him, but the production's been pretty bad. Valanciunas had 5 and 9. A lot of questions about him. So Sabonis was questionable in this one, didn't play. Perhaps that indicates he's going to play tomorrow. So they do have a back-to-back tomorrow. I wouldn't drop Valanciunas just yet because I think Sabonis will be limited even if he returns tomorrow, probably looking at sort of 24 minutes, which means Jonas will get 22, 24, which is enough. This was just a bad matchup. The Warriors don't run with a traditional center. So, yeah, I'm not seeing this as Jonas's time is up right now, but we're obviously close with Sabonis coming back. Is he coming back too soon? We'll see, won't we, in about a week. DeMar DeRozan had 23, 5, and 7. LaVine was bad. Monk was terrible. Both of those guys I think we need to hold. LaVine, obviously. Monk, I dropped him in a league last week, I think. Haven't really regretted it to this point, so we'll see. He'll be better than this, but has been a little bit poor. Keon Ellis had 18 points, 4 assists and a steal. Played a little bit more, 28 minutes. He was fine. He wasn't great. We know who he is at this point. He's very limited offensively. He's a good defensive player, but stream him in if you need to. Trey Lyles, 11 points, started over Valanciunas, obviously a slightly better matchup against this Warriors team. And Jake LaRavia had 13 points with a steal. If we were getting 26 minutes of LaRavia, we'd look at him, but we're not. So we don't. For the Warriors, so Quinton Post, as I said, they don't run with a traditional center. He started well in this one, 10 points, 4 rebounds, a steal and a block. Basically didn't play the last quarter or the second half. Steph Curry, quiet night for him, 11 points. That shows you how easy this win was. When he only has 11 points in 30 minutes, pretty comfortable. Draymond, random offensive outburst. We're not going to see that. Jimmy Butler, 6 points. 17 points from Butler and Curry, and you win by 24. That's how bad the Kings were. Moody had 17 points, 6 assists, 2 steals and a block. As long as Pajemski's out, I don't mind holding Moses Moody. Gary Payton had 11 and 4. I'm not really looking at him. Kuminga returned 18, 3 and 1 with a steal in 20 minutes. Now, he's not going to get 18 points in 20 minutes every night, but the minutes will ramp up slowly. So probably has to be rostered. Buddy Hield, 4 threes, stream as required. And nothing else to talk about there, I don't think. Let's get into questions very quickly. All right. Mac Donut. Would I drop Collier for Orlando Robinson? I'd only be holding Collier if you need assists. Yeah, that's sort of it. He'll get you sort of 6 to 8 assists most games, maybe a steal. But I like Orlando Robinson. I've talked about him probably for a month now. That if and when Poeltl misses time, which he is out tomorrow, then I like Robinson. And Robinson yesterday had 19 points or 21 points or something. So, yeah, I don't mind it. Collier's upside is not high enough that you have to hold. Ricardo, is Horford a good pickup since the Celtics will likely rest Porzingis? He's okay because they'll rest Horford as well. That's the issue. He's got a toe thing going on, well, supposedly. Porzingis, I feel like, will be back soon. He has been dealing with a pretty nasty illness by all accounts. So I don't mind streaming Horford, but rest of season, I don't think he'll be a must roster player, only because he's going to rest too. All right, Joseph Kim, Sohan or Keldon Johnson must roster due to Fox's injury? And please tell me it's okay to drop PG. Yes, it is okay to drop PG. Sohan or Keldon must roster? Yeah, look, I think they're both okay. Common sense would tell us Sohan would be the one here because he's more of their future than Keldon Johnson. But Johnson tends to do... Well, he tends to make the most of his minutes more so than Sohan, let's say that. So I think both of them are okay. If you need points, definitely go Keldon. Sohan's a little bit better across the board. Steve, instead of Ted Lasso during your bye, you binged old Kitchen Nightmares episodes. I don't know what to think about that. I'm almost done with Ted Lasso, so I'm halfway through season 3. And then I'll move on to something else. My knee surgery is next Monday, and then I'm going to have time. So I will be watching... I'm probably going to watch Yellow Jackets, I think, the second and third season. Is that what we're in now, the third season? I think it is. Would I drop Poeltl for Orlando? What to do with Poeltl? Okay, so we've got a lot of Poeltl questions. Now, Poeltl is out tomorrow. Let me just pull him up here, so... Thought it was personal reasons. Am I right? No. I did do that. And go. All right. Jakob Poeltl is out. Look, he's out for rest. What have his minutes been? So his minutes the last few games, he's a hard one to rest because, or to drop, because he only needs to play 22 minutes. If you look at his minutes across, well, actually, let's just look at his averages. Averages across the last 2 weeks, 5 games he's played, and he's a top 40 player in 23 minutes, 14.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 1.8 steals, 0.8 blocks, hitting his free throws for whatever reason. He's a really tough one. Would I drop him? I probably wouldn't, but I certainly think you could. If you can just stream away, then yes, you probably can. But if you've got limited moves, I probably wouldn't. Lone Dez, are we rostering Kevin Huerter and Trey Jones? Yes, we are, at least till Giddy gets back. Or Cason Wallace. Oh, so that's the would I drop Collier for Cason Wallace. Again, assists, that would be the only reason I'd be holding Collier. If you don't need him, I would go with Orlando Robinson or Cason Wallace. What else have we got? Another one from Steve. Would I drop McBride or Dante for Butler, Trey Jones or Justin Champagne? Oh, look, they're all much of a muchness. Look at the schedule. Champagne, Trey Jones, Butler, Dante McBride. They're all going to play. So I would just, like, I don't think there's risk of any rests or anything here. So I would just look at their schedules, have a look at who has the best schedule, have a look at who they're playing as well. What else have we got? Matt Carmody, Scoot or Nembhard? I'll go Scoot there. Scoot's starting to look pretty good. I think, yeah, I think I'd rather the upside of Scoot there. Good Rebel Music. Who's more likely to have top 60 or top 50 run, Eason or Powell? Is that, well, it's Norm Powell, surely, clearly. If we're looking at just per game, it's probably Powell if he gets back to full health. But Powell's out at the moment and Eason's not. So, I mean, the Rockets, I think, do have a back-to-back this weekend, so it'll be interesting to see if they play Eason. I'm assuming they won't. Powell probably doesn't play back-to-backs either, though, and his minutes are going to be ramped up a little bit. But he has a higher ceiling than Eason because Powell could get to 35 minutes. Eason is like 26, 28 maybe. So I'd say Eason now and let's see what happens. Okay, Hinny Mini. Most likely winning playoffs this week. Very good. Two ads left. Do I use them to add Justin Champagne and Jared Butler to prep for next week, or hold picks in case I need to do it this week and risk losing them in waiver? I'd probably pick up one and save one. I'd keep one pick because you don't know what's going to happen this weekend. Who knows? I'd be okay adding one of those guys, but I would try to leave one move for the weekend. Ernest, can I rank the following pickups for this week next? Champagne, Butler, Robinson, Neesmith, and who's the drop between Bona, Matkovic, and Keyshawn George? Ranking those pickups, it does come down to stats a little bit, especially with Orlando Robinson. Champagne is going to play big minutes. Neesmith, he's pretty limited. He's not that exciting, really. Robinson depends on Poeltl. If Poeltl plays, then Robinson's last, probably. And if Poeltl doesn't play, then Robinson could be first. So, yeah. Neesmith is the least exciting for me of the three. He's solid enough, but he doesn't do much. So I'd probably go Champagne, Butler, Robinson, Neesmith. Who's the drop? I don't think I'd drop Keyshawn George. Matkovic. I like Adembona. I'd like to see what he can do. Yabusele is not great. I think he's out for tomorrow. Drummond is questionable. I just did my waiver wire article for tomorrow. Adembona is in that article as one of my recommended pickups. So I guess I've got to back myself there and say hold him. So it might be Matkovic, Kennard, or Pippen Jr. for the back-to-back. It might be Pippen. He's been pretty good. I picked him up in a couple of spots for steals and he's been all right. So I might go him. How do I reckon Najee Marshall will be rest of season? Do I think he's worth a drop for streaming later? Weakest players are Marshall, Hartenstein, Quickly, Beal. Also have Grimes, but I think he's good. Grimes has been good. Who would be my drop there? I dropped Quickly in a league. It was a shallow league. I wouldn't drop Hartenstein, I don't think, just because I think he's going to play. At this time of year, you're looking for games played, and I think Hartenstein will play. I think Marshall will play, so I'd probably hold him. Quickly and Beal are going to miss time. Quickly definitely is going to miss time. Beal seems to just randomly have this calf injury every 2 to 3 games. So, yeah, Quickly's per game is pretty good, but when he's only playing 2/3 of the games, maybe half. I am interested to see what happens over the next couple of days with rest because of what happened yesterday with Utah. They were fined. And surprisingly, all their players are now healthy, which gee, there's some shocking news, isn't it? But it'll just be interesting to see whether teams opt to continue resting guys or do they play them and play them limited minutes? We'll see. So there's more context here for that last question with the Najee. Sorry, I'm just reading through it. 11 cat, punting fan, getting close to threes. Blocks is a soft punt. Playoffs start next week. Nine cat, punting free. Look, if you're punting free throws and threes, then it's definitely Quickly or Beal. Knicks do have 4 games next week, yes. So I want to keep McBride. Dante, Poeltl are my most droppable players for the next hot pickup. Yeah, keep McBride. Dante, what's he even been doing? I don't have him anywhere, so I don't pay a lot of attention to him. Okay. So, what's he been doing? Double-digit scoring, yeah, like 4 assists, not really getting steals, mid-20s. A couple of blowouts, though, the last two games. So I think he's been... I mean, he's playing. They need him out there. So it might be Pirtle with those rest games. Is Ware a drop from Ricardo? He's borderline, I think. Apple pie. My playoffs start next week. Golden State has a good schedule with 3 and 4 days to start the week. For boards and threes, do you think Moody will still hold value with Kuminga ramping? Yeah, look, I don't think Kuminga will play the back-to-back, so he probably only plays two of those games, and his minutes are probably in the low to mid-20s. So I'm okay with holding Moody for that short run there. Londes, do I think Dinwiddie is still a hold despite two games next week? No, I don't think you need to, not with only two games. That's going to, with Dallas next week, I think your only holds are there any? let me have a look. Yeah, I mean, Najee is probably a hold. Dinwiddie, no. Max Christie, as much as I like him, if you are in the playoffs and you need to win, you can get four games out of someone else. I'd take four games of someone else over Max Christie. Klay Thompson's pretty borderline. I don't think you have to hold him either. If PJ Washington was fully healthy and playing, I would hold him, but he's not. Kai Jones is questionable for tomorrow. Again, fully healthy and playing, I'd maybe hold him, but yeah, look, it's probably Najee Marshall, maybe. I don't think you need to hold anyone else. All right, that's half an hour. I am going to leave. Thank you, everyone, for joining me. I will be doing... I should be doing a show tomorrow, recording a mailbag with Dan Bespris tomorrow as well. I'm not sure when he's going to release it. But if you've got any questions for Dan and myself, go and find... I retweeted it. I think he tweeted something out earlier, so go and find that and drop your question in the comments and we will get to it if we can. But yes, please go download. Please go and like and subscribe. Do all of that stuff. And I will be back tomorrow. I am Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch ya.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.